The third parak discusses various items that are owned or associated with the Beis HaMikdash, and the discussion is, what is the Mi'ila status? And we're in fact going to divide it up into three possibilities. Number one is that there is a Mi'ila Mideoraisa, so the person would have to pay the value that he benefited, add a Chomesh, and also bring a Korban, the Asha Mi'ilos. That is category number one. Category number two is there's no Mi'ila Deoraisa, but there is a Mi'ila Derabanan. Then you just have to pay back the value received, but you don't have to add on a chomesh or bring a korban. We're only going to see about one example of that. And the vast majority of what we will see in this parak are items that there's no mi'ila, either deraisa or derabanan, but nonetheless, Chazal said, lo nehenin, you still cannot have benefit from it, so on a derabanan level, don't have benefit. And the phrase that we'll see over and over is, lo nehenin v'lo mo'alin, you can't have enough from the item, but there's not going to be a mi'ila. Mishnah Aleph is a little bit complicated. There are five different categories of animals that are considered a chatas, a korban chatas, or related to a korban chatas, but the halacha l'moshe Mishnah is that it has to be let to die. You don't feed it, you let it pass away by itself. And we're going to go through the five, a little bit complicated, we'll keep it on a high level. So the first three are more simple, the next two are more complicated. Number one is Vlad Chatas. If you have an animal that has already been designated as a Korban Chatas, it's not been brought yet, and it gives birth, so you have no use for that offspring, so that is Tamus, it has to be let to die. Utmuras Chatas, if somebody attempted to make a Tmura, which is to replace an existing Korban, so he has a Korban Chatas, which is A, attempts to replace it with B, that doesn't happen. Both A and B are now holy. The Tmura has to be let to die because you have A in order to be mechaper on the Korban Chatas. And number three is a Chata Shemesu Ba'aleha. You have a Korban Chatas that was designated before it's brought. Its owner, who is going to have a kapara for it, fire it, passed away, so the misa, the passing of that individual, acts as a kapara. You no longer have a use for that Chatas. All three of those are in the category of Yamusu. Those are three of the five that we have the halacha l'moshe Mishnah that should be let to die. Another two, and we'll just say this outside initially, this is the shita of Chachamim, that if you lose a korban chatas and you find it there afterward, and there's another problem with it. So problem number one is it got lost, and problem number two is going to be that it's now, it's past its year, and you have to bring a korban chatas when it's within its year of life, not past the first year. Or the other example is going to be it was lost, and when you find it now, it has a baal mum. So it has a mum, it's a baal mum, it has a blemish that disqualifies it from being brought as a korban. And in each of those cases, when you lost your animal, your korban chatas, you found another one, you designated another one B, and you were going to use B, and then you found A. But when you found A again, it had two strikes against it, and this is number four on the list of five chatas that have to be let to die. It was lost, and now it's past its year. And number five is, it was lost, and now that you find it, it has a mum. Here we go. Sha'avra shnasa, number four, sha'avna shnavish avda. It passed its year, and it was lost. It was lost, and it has passed its year. We read the word avda for number four, and also number five, v'nim tzeis bala. So it's sha'avda, it was lost, and when you find it, v'nim tzeis ba'alas muv, and you had at that point, you had appointed a B, another animal, because you lost your korban chatas. So both of these, category four and category number five, they're tarte l'reyu, so they have two strikes against them. They were each lost, and they're either now too old, or they have a mum. Im mishechipru habalim, if you move forward with B. So you went and you used B instead of A after finding A. So you found A, you went, moved forward with number B. That is the situation that we say, Tamus, that A that you found, it has to be let to die. So that's category five, four and five of the five. That is Tamus, the Eino Osa Tmura. And even if somebody would attempt to make a Tmura replacement, a substitute on A, that is not going to be effective because A cannot be used as a Korban anymore. It has a Din of Tamus that it has to be left to die. V'lo nehenin v'lo mo'alin. And this is our phrase. You can't on a rabbinic level have hana from it, but there's also going to be no me'ila because there's no longer any holiness to that A animal. It cannot be used as a Korban Chatas. It's replaced with B and you moving forward with B. However, what if you decide, now that I've found my A, and I know I have B, I have a designated B as its replacement, but I don't want to use B, I really want to use A. But you can't use A because it has two strikes against it, and it was lost, and either it's now too old, or it has a mum, vim achalo kipro abalim, but the baal still wants to move forward with A, can't use it. But what he can do is tira achit yistayev. You have to wait until it has a mum. So we're talking about if it's the category number four, it's it was lost. lost and now it is older than a year, but you have to wait till there's a mum. If it's category number 5, it already has a mum. V'simaker, and you sell it, v'yavi b'demei acheres, and you will buy with the money a seed, which is another replacement. So that is what you're going to use for the Korban Chatas, because you wanted to use A, you sell it. Now that it has a mum, with the money, buy C. And now C is going to be an effective Korban Chatas, has to be brought. So if somebody attempted to make a Tmura, it's going to be effective. Osa Tmura, and that D that you try to make a Tmura on C is going to be Kodesh as well, but you're not allowed to use D as a Tmura. You have to bring C. But if somebody would have personal benefit from C, there indeed that would be a prohibition, a Del Raisa Me'ila. Continuing. Mishnah Beis talks about a Nazir, and the Nazir has to bring, after going through a successful Nazir's process, 3 Korbanos, Ola, Chatas, and Shlamim. And the Shlamim is different from the Ola and the Chatas. The Ola and the Chatas are Kodshei Kodashim. There is Me'ila on those. So the Shlamim is a Kodshei Kalim, and fundamentally there is not a Me'ila because the meat is eaten by an individual. So there's not initially a Me'ila on that Korban Shlamim. So Mishnah Beis says as follows, HaMafrish Ma'oslin is Ziruso. Somebody's gotten to the end or is coming to the end of his Niziros and has to bring these 3 Korbanos. And he separates money for all 3, but he doesn't designate specific coins or bills for each of them. Accordingly, lo nehanin v'lo mo'alin, there is not going to be an isra me'ila. You can't have benefit from these coins because they've been designated for korbanos, but there's not going to be a me'ila. Why not? If you're going to have to buy an ola and a chatzas, those are kodshei kodashim, and there's no me'ila on the animals, but because they haven't been designated yet, we say on each of the coins, mipnei shen ruin lavo kulan shlamim. We say on each of the coins because you could use this coin for a korban shlamim, which is kodshei kalim, and there's no me'ila on it. Accordingly, if somebody would use those coins, there's not going to be a me'ila by using those coins, even though some of them would have in general be used for ola chatas, but they haven't been designated for ola and chatas. So we have the svara, each coin that you use could have been used for a shlamim, which is kodshei kalim, and no me'ila. Mace, if the person who had the money, he separated money, but he didn't designate which coins would be used for which of the korbanos, and he passes away. Hayustumim, we're in the situation that he didn't designate the coins. He just separated a whole bunch of money for each of those, but didn't say which coin is going to go for which of the korbanos. Yiplun and Adava, because he hasn't designated any korbanos. All of them are going to be put in the chest, in the base of Mikdash of the 13 chests that would be labeled Linadava. Then it would be used for a korbanos ola. Hayumifurashim, if the person passes away, but before he passes away, he did designate which of the coins are going to be used for which korban, which animal is going to be used of the 3. So demei chatas, so the money that he designated to be used to buy a korban chatas, just like we saw that when we have a baal of a korban chatas and he moves forward with a different korban chatas, it's a chatas shekapru baaleha, that's one of the big 5, halacha l'moshe mishina, he has to die. So to here, if we have this individual that designated money for his chatas as a nazir, and he passed away now, again, it's effectively, it's money, but it's like has to be put to death. How do you put money to death? Yelchu lebeis yam ha-melech, you have to let it put into the yam ha-melech, into the salt sea, into the dead sea, and it will decay. That's how we get rid of money, so no one can have benefit from it. Lo nehenin v'lo mo'alim b'em, there's an iser derabanan to have hana from it, but there's no mi'ila del reisa because this money has no other purpose. It's not holy. It just has to be destroyed. So that if the person had designated money, so what happens with the money designated for a chatas? You have to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. For the money that was designated to make ola, to be used to buy an ola, now that the owner has passed away, yaviu ola, they will still move forward and be able to bring a korban ola to make shlamim. And the money that was designated to bring the korban shlamim, yaviu shlamim, you can bring a korban shlamim. Now it's a little bit different. When this nazir was going to bring a korban shlamim, there was a halacha when it comes to the nazir shlamim that you can only eat it that very day that it is being brought. That's not like a typical shlamim. Typical shlamim, you have that day, that night following, and the next day as well. So 2 days and a night. So when it comes to this shlamim that was designated to be used for a nazir, but now we're using it for a regular shlamim, v'nechalim li'omechad, we're still going to be strict as if it's a shlamim for a nazir, so you have to eat it only that day. But it is going to differ from the korban shlamim. A korban shlamim of a nazir, you have to bring bread, certain types of breads with it, and we are not going to be required to bring it, we're going to bring it like a normal shlamim in that instance, that the bread is not going to be brought. Ve'ein antunim lachem, you're not going to bring it with the lechem. Mishnah Gimel, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Hadam, we are going to contrast blood now to nesachim. The nesachim are the wine or water that are poured on the mizbeach. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Hadam, when it comes to blood, kal b'tchilaso, at first it is lenient, v'chamor b'sofo, but in the end of the day, we're going to be strict about it. We'll explain this shortly. V'hanesachim, but when it comes to the nesachim that are poured on the mizbeach, the wine or the water, chomer b'tchilaton, we are strict about those in the beginning, v'kal b'sofo, but later on, we're going to be lenient. What does that mean? So hadam, when it comes to the blood, b'tchila, at the beginning, which means before we do zrik on that blood, we go through the process, we shech the animal, we do the kabbalah, we do the various stages of the bringing of the korban, before the zrik, up until the zrika, ein mo alimbo, there is going to be no mi'ila. However, after the zrika, there is going to be a mi'ila. What do you do? We're talking now about not the blood itself that is spritz on the mizbeach. We are talking about the leftover blood that wasn't used in the zrika. So what's done with that is it's poured on the base on the mizbeach, and it drains into a canal of water that went through the base of mikdash, and it was brought out. Yatza l'nachal kidron, it would go out into the nachal kidron. At that point, mo'alim, but there would be a rabbinic mi'ila. As we said, there are three categories that we're talking about in this parak: a mi'ila d'oraisa, a mi'ila d'rabbanan, and those items that don't have mi'ila, but you can't have anah. This is the mi'ila d'rabbanan. Chazal said that we are instituting a mi'ila that if you have anah from that blood that's brought out of the base of mikdash, for example, farmers would use it for fertilizer, that's an isra d'rabbanan, a mi'ila d'rabbanan. They have to purchase it in order to redeem it from the ownership of the base of mikdash in order to use it. Continuing. So on nesachim, what did we just see? Before the nesachim, we see that the dam is bitchila, is going to be ein mo'alim bo, but in the end of the day, so at the beginning, there is not going to be a mi'ila before the zrika, but afterward, there is going to be a mi'ila. So we're lenient in the beginning, but we're strict in the end. We're going to say the nesachim betchila mo'alim bo, and when it comes to the nechasim, the wine and the water that are used on the mizbeach, as soon as they are consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be a mi'ila on them because they're going to be used on the Mizbeach. However, Yatzu L'Shisin, after using the mitzvah, there's a concept, when you finish the mitzvah, you're done doing the mitzvah, then there's no longer a mi'ila. So what they would do is they pour the wine and the water onto the Mizbeach, and then it would go down, or go through a hole into the depths underneath of the Mizbeach. As soon as it was going down on its way, you finish the mitzvah, if somebody would reach his hand out and take some of the either the wine or the water and benefit personally, there wouldn't be a mi'ila ein mo'alim bahen, because the mitzvah was already done. So you see here, when it comes to the nesachim, we're machmir at the beginning as soon as it's consecrated, but at the end, after use, we are lenient. There's no mi'ila whatsoever. Mishnah Dalet. Now we're talking about other items used in the Beis HaMikdash. The dishun mizbeach ha'pnimi v'hamenorah, the ashlets left over on the mizbeach ha'pnimi. After bringing the daily ketores the next day, in the morning, the kohen would clean it up. You had the ash from that, and you also had the menorah, the ash and the wicks that were used over. And what they would do is they would go and take the ash, these two types of ash from the mizbeach ha'pnimi and the menorah, and they were bringing it out and put it on the side of the mizbeach that is outside, together with the ash, after the Chumas Adeshin is done on the Mizbeach outside, and they would put it all together at the side of the Mizbeach outside. So at that point, the mitzvah is done with the ash that we're talking about, the dash on the inside from the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the menorah. At that point, lo nehenim v'lo mo'alin, you're not allowed to use it, you're not have a lot of hanah from it, but there's not going to be a mi'ila. Hamakdish dishkun b'achtchila. Now we're going back inside, and we're talking about somebody who goes and says, I want to be makdish, I want to give the value of the ash that is either on the Mizbeach HaPnimi or the menorah. It hasn't been used, brought all the way out yet. If it were brought all the way out yet, then there's no longer mi'ila. He says, I want to makdish the value. And at that point, after he said it, somebody takes it out and puts it outside. The kohen has properly, so takes it out, and then somebody benefits from it. Somebody uses up some of it. So now the Beis HaMikdash can no longer appraise the value of that ash in order to know how much this person is who is donating that value of that dishun, of the ash, how much he has to give. So now there is a detriment, there's a financial loss to the Beis HaMikdash because they can no longer value the ash because it was brought out, it was put on the side of the Mizbeach, and somebody used some of it. At that point, Mo'alin Bo, there's then going to be a Mi'ila because whoever benefited, whoever used it from that ash, even though it's outside, and even though in the first case, when it was brought outside, there wasn't a problem. There's not a mi'ila of somebody, but because somebody was makti, she said, I'm going to give the value of it when it was still on the inside, when there was still a mi'ila problem, and now it's brought outside, there's still going to be a problem if somebody benefits from that, because the Beis HaMikdash is incurring a loss because they can no longer appraise the value of that dishun. Continuing, now we're going to talk about the bird offerings. Bird offerings to the Beis HaMikdash came in one of two types of birds, torim. Those are turtle doves, and those were only brought as korbanos when they are older, not when they are younger. And the b'nei yonah, the pigeons, are the opposite, only when they're younger. So the way to remember it is b'nei yonah, the children of yonah, literally children, but it's not literal, but it means the young pigeons. So the pigeons are brought only when younger and not older. So when it comes to torin shelo higiyas manam, the turtle doves, that they're still too young to be brought as korbanos. So somebody consecrated them, but they're still too young. U'b'nei yonah she'avars manan, or the pigeons, and they are too old. So they're each at the wrong times. Lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. You can't have enough from that, but there's no me'ila because they cannot be used yet. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees in part. Torin shelo higiyas manan, when it comes to the torin, which are the turtle doves, which can only be used when they're older. So when somebody consecrates them when they are younger, they just have to wait in order to become older, but they will at a certain point be able to be used. According to Rabbi Shimon, is of the view, Torin Shalei Giyaz Manam, even though they're not old enough, but they will become old enough, Mo'alim Bayam, if somebody has benefit from them, even though they're too young now, but there is a Mi'ila because they will be able to be brought on the Mizbeach, B'nei Yonah Shavar Zman. However, when it comes to the pigeons, they're too old, they will never be able to be used, they're not going to get younger. In that instance, he agrees that there's going to be a prohibition to have ana, but there's going to be no mi'ila. Mikshnehe, we're going to talk about milk and eggs of animals that have been designated for korbanos. And just we'll speak it outside. We're going to divide it into two types of status of animals. We're going to talk about kodshe mizbeach, if animals have been designated to be brought on the mizbeach and they get milked or they have eggs. We're talking about eggs of the bird offerings. That is going to be one thing that there's not going to be a mila on those, even though they're on a high level of kedusha, but somebody has consecrated them for the use of the animal itself. You can't bring the milk and eggs or eggs onto the mizbeach. Accordingly, if somebody has personal benefit from the milk or the eggs, there is not going to be a mi'ila. On the other hand, even though it's on a lower level of kedusha, if you have animals owned by the Bedek HaBayis, that's owned by the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, not to be used on the Mizbeach, milk and eggs have value on the Bedek HaBayis level. They will be able to monetize those. You can sell them, you can buy items for the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, there will be Me'ila if the milk and eggs are owned by the Bedek HaBayis. So as follows, Mishnah Chalev HaMukdashim, if we have milk from animals that are Hekdash, that were to be brought as korbanos ubeitzei sorim, if we have the eggs from turtle doves, also the turtle doves were to be brought on the mizbeach, lo nehenim v'lo mo'alin. These you can have hana from, but there's not going to be a me'ila. Why not a mi'ila? Because as we said, these animals are designated, but their milk and eggs cannot be used on the mizbeach. B'medvarim amurim, that there is not going to be a mi'ila, b'kodshe mizbeach, items that are brought on the mizbeach, animals that are to be sacrificed, of b'kodshe bedek habayis. However, if you have animals that are owned by the bedek habayis, somebody designated and consecrated it, donated it to the Bedek HaBayis, not to be brought as korbanos. Hikdish Tarnagolas, for example, somebody consecrated a hen. Hen can't be brought on the Mizbeach. Mo'alimba ubebeitzasa. There's a meal if somebody benefits from the hen itself and from its eggs. Chamor, if somebody donated a donkey, as well, mo'alim ba uve chalava, there is going to be a mi'il if somebody benefits from the donkey, takes a ride on the donkey, or from its milk as well. And the same thing is going to apply for the milk and the eggs of hektesh animals if it's donated to the Bedek HaBayis as opposed to the mizbeach. Again, when it comes to the milk and eggs, there will also be a problem in Isra of mi'ila. Mishnah Vav, we're going to just divide up now into three categories. We're going to talk about items that are used on the mizbeach, for example, unblemished animals and birds, flour, oil, and wine. Those are items that are used on the mizbeach. Item number two, category number two, is items that can be used for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to call this Bedek HaBayis. A little bit different from the Bedek HaBayis in the prior Mishnah, where that's anything that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash that's not being used on the mizbeach. Here, Bedek HaBayis is stuff that is specifically used to support the Beis HaMikdash, the item itself, not that you can monetize it, sell it off, and use what the money to, we're talking about building supplies and actual gold and silver that were donated. We can use this in the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. And category number three is going to be everything else, items that cannot be used on the Mizbeach. They cannot be used in the building of the, it's not the Bedek HaBayis. We can't use it in the building of the Beis HaMikdash itself. But they are items that are owned by the Beis HaMikdash. They can be sold, and then we can use the money for the maintenance in the Beis HaMikdash. So Mishnah Vav says as follows, Kol Aroi LaMizbeach, Velo LaBedek HaBayis. Anything on level number one that can be used on the Mizbeach, but not for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Bedek HaBayis for Lulav Mizbeach, or items that can be used for the Bedek HaBayis. For building supplies, can be used to build the bayis, but it can't be used on the Mizbeach. You can't sacrifice it as an offering. Lulav Mizbeach, Lulav the Bedek HaBayis, or category number three, it cannot be used for either the Mizbeach or the Bedek HaBayis. For example, food items and the like, you can't bring that on the Mizbeach. You can't use it for building the Beis HaMikdash. All three of those categories are going to have mo'alim bo, are going to have a problem of me'ila, an isra me'ila, if somebody personally benefits from it. And now we're going to have five different examples. Ketzad, these are our examples. Number one is hiktish bor male mayim. If somebody designated, consecrated, donated a pit, and it's full of water, the water itself can be used on category number two. You can use it to mix cement. Accordingly, that is level number two. That's bedek habayis. Ashpa malei zevel, somebody donated a garbage heap full of garbage that's not fit for the Mizbeach, it's not fit for the Bedek HaBayis. That is going to be on level number three. Next example, third example, shovach malei yonim, if somebody donated a birdhouse full of pigeons, this is going to be on level number one. Those pigeons can be used to be brought, bring korbanos on the Mizbeach itself. Next, example number four, ilan malei peiros. If we have a tree full of peiros, full of fruit, depending on the fruit, it could be used as bikurim. So that's level number one. If it's wine, if it's anavim, if it's grapes, or if it's olives, the wine, the oil that can be brought in the karbanos, that's all level number one. And the last example, sadam malei asavim, somebody donated a field full of grasses. You can't do anything with that grass. That's not level one or level number two. It's going to be on level number three. But regardless, whether it's level one, stuff can be used on the Mizbeach, or stuff can be used in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, or neither of those, Mo'alim Bahen, Uba Masha Besochan, and all these items, there's going to be a Mi'ila on the item itself. For example, the pit, the garbage heap, the birdhouse, etc., and not only the items, but what is included in them as well, the water, the garbage itself, the pigeons, all those will have mi'ila. On the other hand, if you just donated the hard asset first without the what is included in it, so for example, avalim hikdish bor v'charkach nisma le'mayim, if you just donated the bor itself, the pit itself, and thereafterward, after it became hekdish, it got filled with water, that's number one. Number two is ashpa, you donated just the garbage heap, v'charkach nisma le'zevel, only thereafterward, after it became hekdish, it became full of garbage. Number three, shovach v'charkach nisma le'yonim, you donated the birdhouse, and afterward it became filled with birds, but not before. So none of the additional item is hektish because they came afterward. Number four, ilan. If you have a tree, v'harkach nisma leperos, and afterward the fruit grew. And number five, sada v'harkach nisma leasavim. You had the field, and only thereafterward did all the grasses grow. In all those instances, mo'alin b'hen, there's going to be a mi'ilan, the asset that was donated, but what came later on, for example, the water and the garbage that came there afterward, there is going to be no me'il on those because they came there afterward. Divei Rabbi Yehuda, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon disagrees in part. He says as follows, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hamakti Sada Ve'ilan, if somebody donated a field or donated a tree, and afterward those grew, he has a concept, so he's disagreeing with two out of the five. Mo'alim b'hem, there's going to be a me'il on the field itself and the tree itself, but not only them, uvigi duleim, and what grew from them, what grew from the field, what grew from the tree. Why? This is the concept of Rabbi Shimon, why he agrees in two of the five instances, mipnei shehen gidulei hekdesh, anything that grows from hekdesh is hekdesh. Accordingly, that applies to the field and the tree, but not to the other items. Now we're going to talk about an interesting scenario. If we have a vlad, we have a child that was given birth to by an animal, and thereafterward that animal became Kodesh. We'll see a couple of examples of that. And the issue we grapple with is because it gave birth first, so the offspring is not Hekdesh, it's Chulin, it's not owned by the Beis HaMikdash, but now the mother who is the baby is nursing from is Hekdesh, and the baby is not allowed to nurse from a mother if the baby is not Hekdesh and the mother is Hekdesh. So for example, Vlad Meuseres, if we have the Vlad, the offspring of an animal that is now a Maser Behema, that is an animal, a Maser Behema is every year there's an obligation to give Maser, to tithe the new animals that were born to somebody. So we're talking about a mother gave birth, has a vlad, and thereafterward was designated as 1 out of 10 you have to give. So this is the Maiser Behema, Lo Yinak Minamu Seres. That child, that baby, is not permitted to nurse from the mother that is now a Maiser Behema. It's owned by the it's Hekdesh, it's Kodesh. V'acherim mis nadvim ken. However, there are some people who, before they would count the Maiser Behema, designating which animal is going to be Maiser Behema, they would make a tonight, they would make a condition saying, if the mother is chosen, any of the mothers that are chosen, we are maintaining that the milk itself will not become Kodesh. It will maintain its status as chol, not owned by the Beis HaMikdash, in order to permit, to enable that baby to continue nursing from the mother. And another similar example, Vlad Mukdashim. If we have an offspring that was born by an animal, by a mother, and thereafterward they are designating the mother as Hekdesh to be brought as a korban, Vlad Mukdashim, Lo Yinak Mina Mukdashim, that Vlad, that child, is not permitted to continue nursing from the mother once that mother becomes Hekdesh. V'acherim is not Vimchein, but there are people as well that make a Tanai that the milk continue being Chulin so that the baby can nurse from the mother. And another two examples, very similar examples, Hapoalim Lo Yochlo Migrogra Shel Hekdesh. Poalim, those who are working in the field, they have a De'oraisa right to eat what they are working in, if they're working in produce. So here we have an example. If the produce that the poel, that worker, is working in is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, they are not permitted to eat that. That item is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. So apolim, the workers, are not permitted to eat of the dried figs that are Hekdesh. V'chein para lo socha bekarshina Hekdesh. And if we have a para, if we have an ox that is eating, there is also a halacha. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal that is working with food. You have to let them to eat of the produce of the field if they're threshing. But here, when it comes to items that they're working on that are owned by the Beis HaMikdash, here the example is Karshini Hekdesh. It's a vetch. Vetch is animal feed that's from a bean. People could eat it, but they wouldn't want to. So that as well, even though typically you're not allowed to muzzle your animal because the animal is working with Hekdesh, you would be permitted to muzzle the animal. Continuing, Mishnah Zayin talks about when we have two fields side by side. One is owned by somebody and one is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the halacha when the roots of one tree grows to the field of the other? So there's a halacha. The default is when you have a tree, you have a trunk, the roots within 16 amos are owned by the owner of the tree, because within 16 of amos, the tree feeds, gets nutrients from those roots. But outside of that, if the roots are in somebody else's field, those roots are owned by that other person. Accordingly, we're going to talk about, we have field A that's owned by Chulin, an individual owns it, and field B is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Shor Shei Ilan Shel Hedyot Ba'in Bishel Hekdesh. If we have the Shorshim, if we have the roots of a tree that is owned by a Hedyot, that is from field A, and they enter into the Hekdesh, but they are within 16 amos of the tree. They're within 16 amos of the tree, so that means that it's owned by A still, even if it's in the field of Hekdesh. Hekdesh doesn't own it because those roots are within 16 amos of the tree of A. On the other hand, v'shal Hekdesh b'ayin v'shal hedyot, if you have the tree of Hekdesh that's from field B going into A, but they are more than 16 amos from the tree. If they're more than, say, if they're within 16 amos of the Hekdesh tree, then it's owned by Hekdesh. But if they're more than 16 amos, then it's going to be considered owned by A. And in each of those cases, there's going to be no mi'ila. So in the first instance, when we have the hedra tree, the tree from A into B, because it's within 16 amos, it's owned by A, there's going to be no mi'ila, even if it's in field B. And if we have the Hekdesh, field B tree, that is grown into, the roots are now into A, but they are more than 16 amos away. They are no longer owned, associated by the Beis HaMikdash, by tree B. They are going to be considered owned by A. And accordingly, that explains why lo ne'anin, you shouldn't have enough from it, but lo mo'alim, there's not going to be an isra of me'ila. Now we're talking about water that flows through B field, the Hekdesh field, it flows through B and goes to A. Hamayan shu yotze mitoch ste Hekdesh, it's flowed from somewhere through the Hekdesh field B and goes into A. But right now we're talking about, can you benefit it from it while it's on B, while it's going through Hekdesh? So it's not owned by the Hekdesh field in the sense that it came from elsewhere. It didn't generate on B. It came from a different area. Accordingly, lo ne'aniv lo mo'alin, don't have benefit from it because it is going through a Hekdesh field, but there's not an isra mi'ila. However, once it leaves the Hekdesh field, yatza chutz l'sada, now it's gone to A, Nehanin mimena, you can have hana from it lechatchila. It has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash at this point. Hamayim shebekad shel zahav. We are now talking about the mitzvah of nisuch hamayim, which was done on Sukkot. And what they would do every day of Sukkot is that they would fill a kli shares, which is a consecrated golden vessel, and they would pour from that kli shares onto the mizbeach. They could not do that when it was a Shabbos because they didn't draw on Shabbos. They had to draw it before Shabbos, draw the water from the Meshiloch before Shabbos. The problem was you can't leave the water in a Kli Sharis because if water, something as Hekdesh is left in a Kli Sharis overnight, water, regular water, but you leave it in a Kli Sharis, as soon as you put it into the Kli Sharis, it becomes Hekdesh, and you leave it in the Kli overnight, it becomes pasul, it becomes disqualified, you can no longer use it. So they would put it in a beautiful vessel, but not a Kli Kodesh. It wasn't owned by not a Kli Sharis, it wasn't consecrated, it wasn't owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and only the next morning, a Shabbos morning, would they transfer it to the Kli Kodesh. So Kli Sharis. So now we're talking about a Mayim Shebekad Shel Zahav. This water now that was going to be used, it's designated to be used as the Nisuch HaMayim. It's in a barrel, it's in a pitcher made of gold. You cannot, lo ne'aniv lo mo'alim, because it's designated to be used for the yayin, the water on Sukkot. Accordingly, you're not allowed to have hana from it. However, there's not going to be a mi'ila because it wasn't put into the Kli Sharis yet. Nisano b'tzluchis, as soon as you put it into the Kli Sharis, that Shabbos morning or any other morning, you put it straight in to the Kli Sharis, mo'alim b'hem, there is a mi'ila because it's in the Kli Sharis. It's designated for the Nisuch HaMayim. Arava, now we're talking again about Sukkot. The aravas, the willows that we put on the Mizbeach on a daily basis, those were not Hekdesh. They weren't owned by the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't have the status of Hekdesh. Accordingly, lo ne'anin, because it's going to be used for the Mizbeach, don't have hana from it, and Yisrael Rabbanan to have hana, v'lo mo'olim, but there's not going to be a me'ila. And in fact, Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, he agrees with that statement. There's not a me'ila. The skenim would actually put it into the lulav, and that the lulav, their esrog hadasim, and they would use this harava before it was put on the mizbeach. They would use it for their aravas and their arba minim, which shows that there indeed was not a mi'ila by using those aravas. And now Mishnah Ches, the final Mishnah of Arbkarek, Ken Shabura Sha'ilan Shal Hekdesh, if there is a nest that was built on top of a tree that is owned by Hekdesh. Now the building materials, the materials used for the nest are not Kodesh. It was brought by the bird from other places, but because it's on top of the tree of Hekdesh, lo nehaniv lo mo'alin, don't have hana from it, but there's also not going to be a mi'ila problem because those materials to build the nest were brought from elsewhere. On the other hand, Shabbat Asheira, if it's on top of a tree that used for idolatry called an Asher, it's worship, Shabbat Asheira, Yatiz Bekana, you're not allowed to crawl up that tree because you're not allowed to have hana from anything that is an Avodah Zarah, and that Asheira is owned by Avodah Zarah. Accordingly, if you want that nest, we're talking again about the nest that was built from items away from this tree. It wasn't built from this tree. If it was from the tree itself, then that's Asur Bana, but the bird brought it from elsewhere. You want that nest. Accordingly, you would have to hit it down with a stick, but you would not be able to climb up the tree, and then you could have hana from it thereafterward. Hamakti says, Achorish, if somebody consecrates, donates the Beis HaMikdash, an entire forest, the entire thing is included in the donation. So Mo'alim Bekulan, there's a Mi'ila if somebody has personal benefit on any of it. Not only the trees, but the branches and the leaves as well. The whole thing is Hekdesh. In contrast, HaGizborim Shalachu Es Ha'etzim, if you have the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash that bought trees, they want the wood, for example, to build beams in the Beis HaMikdash. They're interested in the wood and nothing else. So Mo'alim Be'etzim, there's a Mi'ila if somebody personally personally benefits from the wood. But there is not going to be a me'il if somebody personally benefits from the wood shavings that falls off of those beams or from the leaves. The gizborim, the treasures, we're not interested in that. They don't have a use for it. They only have an interest in the trees, the wood itself, to be used as beams in the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, the me'il is on the beams, but not on these other items.